This is a very difficult gospel to preach on because Jesus actually gives the homily. He gives the parable and then he gives the explanation. So I'm not going to preach about the gospel. I'm going to preach actually about the second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 8. And you may not know this, but the first reading and the gospel are always paired. The psalm is a response to the first reading, and then the second reading can often be a standalone reading, having little or nothing to do with the first reading or the gospel, which is more or less the case today. So in this particular case, in Romans chapter 8, what I'm going to speak about is what Paul's talking about in very, very somewhat unclear esoteric language. He speaks eloquently about how the whole created order groans in labor pains and is desiring to be reconnected with God. And even we ourselves as human persons in the world are awaiting our adoption as sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is very, very high theology, but I'm going to try to position it in such a way that it seems hopefully more palatable and intelligible to all of you. So where to start? Well, a good image to think about where I'm going with this is simply, if you've been to the Capitol and the Rotunda, in the great dome of the Rotunda, central really in the Capitol building, is a painting on the ceiling. It's 4,664 square feet. Massive painting. It was executed in 1865 at the time of the Civil War, at Civil War's end, and it's called the Apotheosis of George Washington. Okay? Now, this is a very, very triumphal art, piece of art. Okay? And what it depicts almost like George Washington is like Jesus ascending to the heavens. Right now, this is rather funny, I think, because nothing could probably be more antithetical to Washington's disposition as president. Okay, remember, he did something really remarkable that we take for granted in our system, but after his second term, he said, "That's it, I'm done, I'm retiring to Mount Vernon, I'm done." And that became the precedent for the idea that presidents would only serve for a limited amount of time and then go on to something else. Okay, and I know there's been exceptions and everything, but as a rule. So it's interesting because you have sort of Washington's whole world wanting to retire to private life, and then you have this painting, which is almost the antithesis of his very ethos. But all to say, why we have the painting, it seems, is because Washington was such an astounding man of virtue, and really, I mean, divine providence was the right first president of the country, and he set things in motion that I still think have staying power today. So it doesn't offend me that George Washington's sort of made to look like Jesus. In the world of American civic religion, I suppose there's something to that in a way, okay? Again, I'm not trying to deny that Jesus is Lord, but in Americana, George Washington is even first among equals of the founding fathers. All right, now, why do I bring this up? Because it's important for us as believers to kind of understand on a very, very basic level what we're doing here and what Catholicism is and what's the project of Catholicism. Why do we practice our faith? Okay, and I point this out because I run into this a lot, and I think most Catholics, in my experience, sell Catholicism very short. They have very low valuation or expectation of what Catholicism is supposed to be. Like, what's the end goal? Now, you all might be able to say to every man, woman, and child here that at the end of the day, the project, the reason for it all, is you want to get to heaven. Okay, that's good, and that's very important, and that is true. But the question that I have is not the destination, but the journey. How do we get there? What's that all about? Okay, so some people reduce Catholicism to a moral code. right? It's a moral compass. It's a way of living one's life, okay? And that's true to a degree, that it's not untrue. Or others might say that it's sort of like a philosophical tradition, a way of making sense of the world, okay? And that's true as well. But that's not all it is. In fact, I would just say that's very, very baseline. That's very, very basic, right? And in fact, a lot of Catholics today, even when it comes to the moral piece, they don't even have that right. Because a lot of Catholics practice what's called cafeteria Catholicism. They pick and choose the moral teachings of the church that suit them and seem to work for them. But the ones that they don't particularly care for, they just kind of brush aside, and they'll find some priest on the internet who will tell them it's okay that they don't follow the teachings of the church. Say, see, there you go. All right. And this has been studied in such a high degree at this point that there's a sociologist at Notre Dame named Christian Smith who some years back basically lined up the five pillars of Catholic morality for many a Catholic. Listen to what Christian Smith says. Pillar number one, a God exists who created and watches over the world. Pillar two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to one another. Pillar three, the central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about yourself. Number four, God does not need to be deeply involved in your life, except when called upon to resolve a problem that you can't fix. And number five, good people go to heaven when they die. And I'd be willing to bet over 75% of Catholics in the United States take these five pillars and they say, that's Catholicism for me. And it is not. Let me explain. We'll go back to George Washington. Remember, the title is called apotheosis. Okay, that second part of the word, theosis, is the game. Is the game. Theosis is Greek. In English, we use a word called divinization. What does this mean? Apotheosis means, in George Washington's case, becoming godlike and going up to heaven. That's very close to what we're after here. This is the game. This is what it all comes down to. All the moral traditions of the church, all her dogmatic teachings, have one goal, which is to get us to heaven. That's the destination. But the journey is this. The whole process, the whole experience of our lives as believers is based on a saying that St. Irenaeus of Lyon said years ago, 1700 years ago. He said this, God became man so that man could become God. And what he means is not that we become literally God, but what St. Paul is saying, we become his adopted sons and daughters. In other words, the whole game is not about rules and regulations in the moral life. The whole game is becoming like God. This is what it actually means to be Christian, to be another Christ. Meaning the whole project is this transformation by God's grace that's supposed to be taking place in our lives so that we become living icons of Jesus himself in the world. But I would argue most Catholics are very happy with relegating their Catholicism to just following the rules. And if you follow the rules of the game, you'll be fine. That is not true. The whole project is actually to become like God. As Paul says, we await our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. You see, brothers and sisters, this is a much more profound project than following the rules. You know where following the rules works? Golf. Follow the rules. Chutes and ladders. Follow the rules, okay? That's following the rules. Don't speed. Follow the rules. Okay, but that is not what we're after here. So all the moral stuff is downstream. Once you've got the right disposition to say, I want to become like Jesus in every aspect of my life so that his words, his attitudes, his actions, his dispositions are mine. I become like God, and he became like me so I could become like him. That's actually the project. So I challenge you with this gospel, this second reading from Romans 8, not really to chide anybody, but just to lay out the lay of the land. This is actually what we're after. And of course, thanks be to God that we do not do this on our own. There is God's grace. There is the sacraments. There are parish communities. We have families and friends who help support us in this way, right? You surround yourselves with people who are going to help with divinization, with theosis, becoming like God himself. This is a massive project of a lifetime. But with all those aforementioned supports, it can happen as it has happened for the saints. Let us pray today that we understand that what that Capitol dome room in the city points to isn't actually too far from the truth about what we're supposed to be after, right? That we could perhaps change Washington's face with our own. Maybe we can just take a picture of it and AI it or something. But this is the game that we're after. This is what we're pursuing, Christian perfection in Christ. And if we have that attitude down first, all the morality, all of the rules fall right into place because they are the logical conclusion for one's primary disposition of being a disciple. May Jesus, whom we pursue, and most importantly, who pursues us, be praised, adored, and loved, both now and forever. Amen.